Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode number 338. And as always, we are brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, anything you purchase on there is kind of a referral link for us. We get a little kickback from Amazon. Doesn't cost you anything and helps us keep the podcast going. With me, as always, is Bob, who made me do the intro tonight, and I'm like fiddling through trying to make sure everything's going well. And with this, we were just talking about this before the show, the new YouTube features that have just rolled out in the last couple of days. I'm trying to like monitor it on my tablet next to me, and I'm like, where's the lives? I can't see it. And yeah, so I was fumbling around here. But yes, Bob, how's it going, man?
It's good. So big YouTube changes recently. Ryan, I noticed it, but I didn't know that it was like a big thing. But Ryan thought I deleted all the podcasts off of the YouTube page. But now if you go into YouTube, actually, I'll just bring it up so you guys can see it. I'll bring up our page so you guys can see what I mean. If you're looking to find any type of video or if you can't find it.
Yeah, because it's a little different. I've seen some rumblings of these changes, but hadn't experienced them. And then I kind of forgot and was like, what's going on? Is my YouTube broken?
Yeah. So you go to our main page and like our main stuff will be there. It might look a little bit different because I'm logged in. So I'm like, mm-hmm. Can do a little different things, but now you actually have videos, which is like all of our long form content. So you just see our, you know, Razor video, like all of our long form type videos. And then there's an actual tab now for shorts. We're going to start putting out a lot of shorts now. So you'll see all of those in there, and then all of our lives. So all of our lives are like this, like the podcast that you're listening to or watching will be on the live section. So if you miss the podcast, you want to get caught up, it's all under live for the most part. There's only a couple of the podcasts that aren't under the lives. Those ones are the ones that were pre-recorded that I did when like Ryan was out or we had something else going on. But we also like everything gets added to a playlist too. So we have a ton of playlists. So if you can't find something, we do have a podcast playlist. Like we have everything
kind of. See those CES playlists. I'm ready to like get into CES mode and add some stuff to the 2022
playlist. 2 months for all that. So if you, so that's kind of the change on YouTube that Ryan thought I was like, I deleted them off the.
I figured you didn't delete them, but I figured something had happened. I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, so I like we had just talked about it. I think it's sort of good in the fact that it separates shorts in long form content. Just makes it easier because shorts is like at least to me, it's like a completely different product and a completely different thing than like normal YouTube.
I'm not a big fan of. Well, I say I'm not a big fan of them. I don't know yet. I see that snippet of content in other apps, right? So I'm used to it. I don't know if YouTube is where I want it.
I agree. I like that they separated it because again, it's like TikTok, you know, or Instagram, and you see Instagram go to video too. So it's like, you know, we want long form content. A lot of, you know, our viewers, they want a full length review, and the shorts just, you know, it's just for people who kind of want to swipe. So you can see why YouTube did it. It makes sense. I mean, TikTok is like the most popular app out there. But yeah, That's kind of the big change there. Besides that, it's cold in San Diego. Oh,
yeah. Cold for San Diego, maybe.
It was like 65 degrees, and like people are wearing like these big jackets and stuff. And
I had my air conditioner back on today
because it's so funny this time of year for the West Coast. You know, coming from the East Coast, it's like people are just crazy. Like it would be a warm day back home, I guess, if it was, you know, like this. So it's just kind of funny how people hear the, you know, big winter jacket if it's, I mean, 60 seems warm, so I don't know. But in any case, this is of course a tech podcast. We'll be talking all about tech. If you guys do want to follow along, as I always say, we have our show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. Lots of stuff to follow along with. It is linked in the video description as well as linked in the description wherever you're listening. If you're listening to the audio later, it will be there. Of course, we just have our podcast section on the website too, if you want to check that out. Easy enough to find and all of that. And to start things out, I will just demonstrate this keyboard because I have it here. Try to do this without fumbling everything around here. But our first review this week, let me turn this thing on. This is the SteelSeries Apex Pro Mini. So as you can see, it is a 60% keyboard, and it's like your typical 60%, right? Gaming keyboard, Tektik, sort of mechanical, which we'll talk about. There's not a whole lot to it. It's really big, or not, it's not really big. That's what I mean. It's like there's not a whole lot of extra space on the keyboard itself, which I really like. Per key RGB backlighting, and it's very heavy. It has aluminum top plate, really great, like, overall quality of this thing. 2.4 gigahertz wireless or Bluetooth, or you can use it wired. There's a little switch at the top right here that you can switch between that. Just a small little keyboard. Now, the thing that's really interesting about this keyboard and why I think it's super cool is, you know, you get a mechanical keyboard, right? And you get the specific switches that you like that have a certain actuation point that feel good for however, whatever your play style is, whatever you're comfortable with, that's the kind of type of switches that you get. But with this keyboard, they have their OmniPoint 2.0 switches, which is actually a magnetic switch. So actually, I'll bring it up for you guys because it's a lot easier to have a visual representation of this rather than me trying to explain it. Let's bring up the review.
I always love looking at the like switch diagrams and the little animations that some companies have for them. It like makes you really understand how a mechanical switch works, and you can kind of see it.
Yeah. So here's the switch right here. It's going to mimic a mechanical switch. It's a linear switch. But you can see there's a magnet down at the bottom, right? And you know, the switch knows how far down your press is. Okay. So it's going to know, you know, if it's, you can adjust it from 0.2 millimeters to 3.8 millimeters. So anywhere in there, the switch actually knows how deep you're pressing. And with that, you can set the actual actuation of every switch on this keyboard. So again, we see like the Cherry MX speed switches. I think their actuation is either 1 or 1.2 millimeters. Which is fast, but technically you can make this keyboard even faster if you really wanted to. So it's completely customizable. Again, a lot of people use like a Cherry MX Red or something like that, but this gives you full control to be like, okay, I want these to be super fast, or I want them to actuate at a certain point. You can set it for each individual switch, which is really cool. And then on top of that, you can actually set two different actions per switch, up to eight total. So basically what you can do is, you know, say like in a game, you can kind of tap the switch, maybe like an actuation of 0.8, maybe one millimeter, and that would be to like walk, right? And then if you like basically press all the way down completely, you know, go all the way down, that would be your second action, which would be like running. It does, and I tried this, and it takes a little bit to get used to because we're not used to that type of action in a on a keyboard, you know, pressing something down a little bit and pressing something right down a lot. But it does come in handy in certain types of games. I could see it being used. So this keyboard, while it seems, like I said, it seems kind of simple as a just, you know, a 60% keyboard, the actual functionality that you get as far as really being able to customize it to your play style, to how you want these switches to feel, is awesome. And it feels really good too. So I didn't mention too, you have double shot PBT keycaps on this. The best keycaps you can get, basically, because they have sort of a rougher finish. They don't show shine or wear. And they feel a lot better too. So everything on this is really awesome. And I'll go into the software, and you can see where you can. So here's the software. You can see where you can actually set that actuation point. By default, it's 1.8, but you can set it all the way down to 0.2 if you want like something that's you basically just tap it. You know, that's what you can do there. And then you can actually go to your dual actuation, and you can set a secondary actuation point if you want to. You can only do 8. So you can only do 8 keys that have a dual binding. But I think it's pretty cool. It
can be any of them, right?
Yeah, it can be any of the keys.
Okay.
And it's really nice that this, like, you know, with the actuation points, it can be any key you want. So you can set a different actuation per key, which is really insane if you think about it. So again, I don't think this keyboard is for everybody, because if you're not going to make use of that Switch technology, this is a rather expensive keyboard. It retails for $239. It's on sale on Amazon right now for $180, but that's still a lot for a 60% mechanical. Yeah, it's a 60, but yeah. It is expensive. It is solid. It's a great keyboard. And I love the cost customization. Like, if you're somebody that really needs to custom everything down to the per key, you want your own actuation points. You might even want different actuation points based on the different types of games that you're playing. Like, that is just awesome. It's just an expensive keyboard for a 60% mechanical keyboard. So that's definitely something to think about. I like the keyboard. I specifically would probably just set one at actuation point and then just kind of let it go. I wouldn't be down in the settings like somebody else would. So I don't think for me personally that I would make use of this keyboard if I was spending the money on it. But I think if you are that person, this is going to be a great keyboard, and you're going to love being able to switch things around, change things around. On a review, we do have a typing test, so you can hear what this sounds like. I would say that the Switch is sort of, I mean, beyond the actuation point, because again, you can set that, but they feel and they sound like a Cherry MX Red, which is a gaming Switch. So they're not very clicky or anything like that. But yeah, check out the review. It was really cool because I've never reviewed a product that was like this, right? That gave you that much customization, and like just seeing if like the dual actuation would actually be useful, because we see companies come out with these things and they're sometimes like a gimmick. They're like, well, yeah, it's there.
Where am I going to use it? Yeah.
But no, it's kind of cool. So like another example would be to equip a grenade and then throw the grenade. So equip it, you would hit it real quick, and then to throw it, you would bottom out the key. Different things like that would make a lot of sense in certain games. And I'm sure, I don't play a whole lot of MMOs, but I'm sure you could do something where like a quick press would like enable something, and then the harder press would do like a macro or...
Yeah. Well, I'm one of those players that I guess it wouldn't work for that either. Never mind. I was thinking if you could use it sort of like more like an analog, but that's not the functionality it gives you. So never mind.
What do you mean?
Forget I said anything. Oh, to adjust like a throttle on something, right? Or steering, right? It's not an analog, like the further you press it, the more it goes. But yeah, I think like the grenade example you gave is a great option, right? Switching to it and then further pressing it would, you know, throw the thing. That seems like a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, like I said, it's a cool keyboard, and I really like it. It turns off. So it just turned off by itself here. You can see. It goes to sleep. And one thing I really like about it is like I've had a bunch of wireless mechanical keyboards that take like 3 to 5 seconds to sort of like boot up after they go to sleep. But like this one, it's just like instantly on. Quick, like it's very quick. So, and again, you can use a Bluetooth too, which makes it perfect if you're looking for a keyboard that you can use at home and take to work. At home, if you're gaming, you have the dongle that it comes with. And then at work, you can just use it via Bluetooth. I use it both ways. No issues. Comes with a very nice cable too. So check out that review. Like I said, it was cool. It was fun to play with. I still think for me, 60% is a little bit too small. I don't know how you feel about that. I use my
gaming arrow keys. I don't mind it.
Yeah, for gaming, I don't mind it. I use arrow keys way too much.
Yeah, doing like actual work, I prefer a full size keyboard. Yeah. Gaming, I'd be fine with it though.
Yeah. Gaming, I might game with it tonight. We're gonna be playing some games, so I might.
Arrow keys, I like to have as well. That's why I like a like a 65 or a 75.
Yeah. In the chat, we have Nelson.
Yep.
Here for class again. Old Man is here as well. We didn't see Old Man last week, I don't believe, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. We were back.
I don't think so.
Yeah. It's all right.
So it's not good required. To see you guys here, and we'll jump over to our next review, which is a CPU cooler, and one of the, I would say, probably better looking air coolers out there. And I have to say, better looking does not mean that it's going to be good looking performance. Deepcool sent us over their AK400. This is sort of like, it's very small, and I kind of equate it to the Hyper 212 from Cooler Master. This is has much better finishes on it, I would say. Right around the same price. So it's $39.99, which is not incredibly expensive. I don't think we're ever going to find a Hyper 212 for like, remember the Hyper 212 used to be $25?
Oh yeah, it was like super cheap and performed amazing.
Yeah, but this is not even like an inflation thing. Like, I think Cooler Master figured out that product was just like,
we could be making more money on these things.
Yeah. So then it like went up to 35, and it's around 35 and 40 bucks for that Hyper 212, any of them. But yeah, this is just a small cooler, and it's the WH, which is the white version. They sell a black version as well. But this cooler, I have to say, and you saw this when you reviewed their liquid coolers, their white liquid cooler, is like their styling for this, I guess, this product cycle. It's really good. Yeah. It just like just a little attention to detail, like these little blocks that are on the rubber on the corner here. They have some styling on the top of this cooler too. You can kind of see that. It's just like, it's simple, sophisticated, and it looks really good. Yes. And again, we live in a time now where pretty much everybody has a side panel window. So some of those things do matter. Of course, performance matters a lot more. But you can see this cooler is not all that big. Single tower, single fan, four heat pipes. And these heat pipes will make direct contact with your CPU and pre-applied thermal paste. Now, some people might not like this. Beginners, I think this is great for you because you don't have to worry about applying the thermal paste. You don't know how to apply a thermal paste. It's kind of, I think it's one of the more daunting things on a first-time PC build because you're like, how much do I put on? What do I do? So this kind of solves that problem as well. You can see the four heat pipes. And again, everything on this is white. The heat sink is painted white. The heat pipes are painted white. The fan is all white. Like, everything is all white on this. You can see the back of the heat sink right there.
Well, I like that pattern on the back too.
Yeah, so that pattern is actually part of their tech. I forget what it's called. It's called their matrix fin design. And it helps out with airflow, too, the way that these fins are. But yeah, it looks nice, too, right? So they've done everything that not only gives you, you know, good performance, but it's going to look good in your case. Installation of this thing is extremely simple. It took me like 5 minutes. It would take like a beginner, maybe 10 minutes. Super, super easy. Of course, we do all of our installations outside of the case, but you could do this easily inside of your case. It really is that easy. And because it's so small, it doesn't take up a whole lot of space. Like, you know, it's going to be really easy to install. No clearance
issues or anything.
Yeah, no clearance with the memory, 100% memory clearance. You know, so if you are using RGB memory, you know, it's going to be a great cooler for that. Coming down to performance, it did score, and you can see it installed here. You can see RGB memory. It did perform in the lower half of our test group. So we'll go through idle temperature here. You can see where it kind of sits. Load one, which is our kind of median load test, and then load two, which is our higher load test. And again, sits towards the bottom. But almost every other cooler, except for a couple, like the Thermaltake UX200, which it did better than, that's a single tower cooler. But most of these are dual fan, dual tower coolers. So keep that in mind. And they're much larger and they cost a lot more money.
You put a second fan on it, Nelson was asking, since you just mentioned that.
Let me look at it. It didn't come with an extra set of fan clips. I assume you could, because this indent
looks like a similar design. Yep.
Yeah. So if you could find, I'd have to check the packaging again because I don't believe it came with the second set of fan clips. I could be wrong. Let's see. Oh, I guess there is a second set. Maybe I didn't see them because you can see them in the bag. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it does come with a second set of fan clips. So if you did want to add an extra fan, you definitely could go ahead and do that. So that's my mistake there. but yeah, so as far as performance goes, it sits towards the bottom half in our test group. But again, our test group is really high-end coolers for the most part. So I think this is like a great cooler for, say, like a Core i5, Ryzen 5, Ryzen 7, Core i7, that you're not going to be pushing all that hard. I think it would be great for that. I wouldn't expect anybody to put this on a Core i9 or a Ryzen 9 processor. I wouldn't expect that, really. It's very quiet as well. If you look at our noise levels, I mean, it's really, really good compared to the rest of the test group. So I think this is a good cooler. I like this cooler a lot. I like the styling. I like that it's quiet. It's easy to install. And it's not that expensive. It's $40. So check it out if you are interested. It's like I said, this is, you know, 100% memory clearance there as well. Because a lot of those coolers that did better, they cover your memory. So if you spent good money on RGB memory and you get one of those coolers, you won't be able to see that memory. So here it doesn't cover the memory either. So definitely a plus there, which is a good thing. Also this week, I published a video that we had talked about for a second towards the beginning. This one is of the Razer Death Adder V3 Pro. Reviewed it, what, last week? Right?
I think maybe a week before even.
Yeah, so reviewed it last week. Again, if you like watching videos, check it out. Because I had a lot of fun making this one, compared it to the Viper V2 Pro, which I was using previously. I am actually using the Death Adder V3 Pro, so I really like it. But check out the video. It is linked in our show notes, and it's on our YouTube page. So again, continuing the videos as we get into the holiday season, which is pretty exciting. Now, this week for Case Mod Friday, we have... I love the attention to detail on this. It's kind of like an out-of-the-box case mod. And this guy has been doing these. Modding Cafe has been doing these. And I really, really like this one. It's Iron Man Mark III, which is basically sort of like a scratch build. He built this whole case himself. But it's basically sort of like the Iron Man suit kind of being worked on in the lab type deal. Basically with the PC behind it. But the attention to detail on everything on this is just crazy. Like, these are actual real fiber optic cables that he has light going through. Like, there's just, and like, all look at all that. Like, the attention to detail on all this stuff that he's done. Very good. There's the graphics card right here. I believe that's an, I don't know if that's an LCD. I believe it's an LCD.
That'd be cool.
In the front, on top of the graphics card. Like, that's just...
It looks like it would take up a ton of room because it comes out so far, right, from the case. But definitely a cool build where you would want to see this, like, shown off at CES or Computex or something like that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And again, just, like, the little things. Like, I believe this is the pump, but they put, like, a little cover on it. You know, it's just, like, those little things I really, really like. Really cool stuff. And then you can see most of the PC behind it. With this really cool, what is this interconnect right here?
I was looking at that. It looks to be like acrylic.
Because this is the graphics card.
That's so your vertically. GPU and it connects to the side there. Yeah. And it's all acrylic. And like a
is
big
it,
piece.
Is this connecting to the CPU block?
Or is it above it? But look at the block. It looks like it has two... on the left side, it looks like it has a channel that goes down in the center, and then it has a channel that comes out the right side.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It is behind it, because here's the entire back piece of this is a distro plate. Yeah, gotcha. That's still cool. It makes it look like it's all one thing. Let me get a better shot. I guess you can kind of see it there. But
look at this a little closer now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Video, like, too.
Yeah, there's a video, which I didn't watch the whole thing, so I should probably watch the whole thing. But the entire like motherboard tray is essentially a distro plate. So that's how everything's, all the water cooling is getting connected. So basically, he's basically doing this without any tubing for the most part, which is really cool. I really like that as well. That's awesome.
Radiator's got to be somewhere, but yeah, you can see more of the distro stuff in that shot.
Yeah,
very cool.
Very cool. And this is the third one that he's done that's Iron Man themed, I believe. So that's been a theme throughout his build. So really cool. Would love to see this in person. Just like I said, the attention to detail and all that. Very, very cool. So check that one out. If that one is not your cup of tea, of course, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. If you're interested, lots of stuff to go through and kind of get some inspiration if you want to, you know, thinking about doing a build. I think Ryan's due for a mod build type thing, I feel. You know, I don't know.
Maybe we'll see.
Get 4090 in there. Get 4090, you know. But if you are looking to win something or get something for free, we do have our Titanium Micro Mercury portable SSD giveaway. I have it sitting here still, so it's right there. Nice little portable SSD that we're giving away. Super easy to enter. The giveaway link is in the show notes. But if you just go to the website and you click on contest, it's the first one that pops up. Super easy to enter. Like I said, we do everything through Gleam. Get your entry in on all of that. And we'll move on. We're moving here pretty quickly. Move on to news. The big story last week was, of course, the 16-pin NVIDIA connections melting up. This week, there's, you know, obviously NVIDIA is concerned. They are collecting at least some of the RTX 4090 cards that are being affected by this. I saw on Reddit, there's like multiple people posting that their card had been
damaged
by this. I honestly, we saw the first couple stories and in my head, I'm like, okay, this is a couple cards. Like this couple,
right.
It's not a big deal. And then on Reddit, like people were like, yeah, this is my third one of like, you know, system builders. They're like, cool. This is my third one today that this happened to.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So this is a bigger deal. Like I said, NVIDIA is collecting the cards, at least some of the cards to kind of see what the issue is, but it's a lot bigger deal than I think a lot of people, at least it's a lot bigger deal than I initially thought it was based on what I've read online. As far as these things happen, it's happening a lot. I don't know if you're going to see a recall of those adapters or a replacement sent out, which would be just a pain in the ass.
Yes, it would. Like, yeah, I don't know what the solution here is other than, you know, a whole redesign of that connector, if that's what it's deemed to be, right? The cable that the plug that plugs into your card, right? Because I don't think it's the connector on the card itself. It's the bad connections on that adapter, right? So,
I think that I just don't see NVIDIA doing a recall. They've already had a callback. I mean, this is like a bunch of things. They already had a callback to 4080, 12 gigabyte?
12 gig, yeah.
12 gig. You know, then there's the reports of all of the things catching on fire or melting or whatever. And then you have, you do a recall. It's just like one mistake after another. And the cost of that too. I mean, that's a considerable cost, I would say. I don't know what their cost on that cable is. It's not a ton, but if you multiply that by how many cards have already been sent out.
Sure.
I mean, that's a lot. Don't know. But if you were getting a 4090, somebody has put up 3D. You know, this is up your alley. Don't you have a 3D printer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody has put
some
up.
Us.
What are they called?
Schematic or a design?
Yeah, schematic to make this little cable bend protector, which basically bends the cable away from the connector So you're not bending it closer here. See how it sits the cable back a little bit.
That's bending the 16-pin ATX, right? That's not bending the adapter, because I don't know that. Have we seen the issue on standard 16-pin ATX connectors, the 12 VH PWRs? Or have we only seen it with the adapters?
I believe we've only seen it with the adapters, but this just gives you an example of what it does. So it pushes that bend back,
right?
Which is because that's where the issue is in the actual this connector.
Right. Depending on your case, though, look at how much distance that is adding. Right? Are you going to run into clearance issues with your card up against the side panel or window?
Yeah, that's another.
Or issue. if you've got it mounted vertically. Like now that's hanging off and actually putting probably more stress on the connector on the board itself.
Yeah, that could also be an issue too. I'm waiting for somebody to print like 100 of these and sell them on eBay or whatever. But the person whoever did this, he put the link. This was posted on Reddit. So he posted where you can get this schematic and print it yourself on your 3D printer if you have one. This is from
it's not like the coolest Jay-Z. Looking thing, but it's function yeah, it's, over I mean, form. I think
it saves your $1,600 graphics card
from
burning up. And yeah, and we don't even know if there's like, obviously you would RMA the card. It doesn't seem to be like there's supply chain issues or like limited cards. So like, I assume your RMA would go through decently quickly. But that's even a process. So it just, if you have a 3D printer, print one of these out. If you do have a 4090, I think it would make sense if that was the case.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. What do we have here? Oh, talking about things that could be fire starters.
If one's good, why not two?
Yeah. So the PCB design of the Galax RTX 4090 Hall of Fame, that's their super high-end card. That's the one that I love because it is an all-white PCB. It's the highest overclocked. It's typically it ships with a water block on it. In most cases, the Lab OC or OC Lab version does ship with a water block on it. But you can see it comes with not one, but two of the 16 pin connections. So that's 1200 watts total plus the 75 watts from the PCI Express connector, giving you a total of 1275 watts that this card technically is capable of. I wouldn't think it'd be anything close to that. The whole idea of having two of these is to go over the 600 watt power limit of the car. If you are doing overclocking, the second one would offset the first one, right? Which makes sense. So if you're doing overclocking or benchmarking, you wouldn't want a power fluctuation. So it kind of just evens the two out. That's just a lot of power.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny because we actually had their 3080 Ti Hall of Fame had the same two 12-pin connectors. So it's not the first time we've seen it. But this card is insane. This card has
it's huge
27 plus 4 power phase design. Like it's an insane card that this is. So it'd be cool to see the overclocks on this, what they can really push this card to again with those two connectors. I'm sure we'll see it at some point, this thing being overclocked like crazy.
I've seen full motherboards smaller than this card. Right? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's big. I mean, the power design is just insane.
Yeah. Too. Probably pretty heavy. Yeah. Even without a cooler, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty cool, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the RTX 4080 got listed online. So this was listed on Newegg for $1,200, which is the actual retail price. So we know that we're going to be able to find one. The one that was listed on Newegg was the PNY Accelerate Gaming Virto. This just kind of proves the point that we're seeing a lot of these cards at their retail price. We saw that with the 4092. You could get MSRP versions of the card previously, especially when the whole chip shortage and everything happened. Every aftermarket card was more expensive than the retail. Here we're not seeing that, which is a really good thing. So if you're waiting for the 4080, and again, it's going to be the 16 gig, it will be, you will be able to find SKUs that are going to be 1200, you know, like your ROG Strix, your Auris card. What's the high end MSI card called
outside of the Lightning?
Yeah, they don't make the Lightning.
What?
They haven't made the Lightning in forever.
Yeah, that's true.
Gaming X Trio. The Gaming X Trio, whatever it's called from MSI, those cards will be over MSRP, but they will have one SKU, you know, like the Asus, I forget what the Asus one is called, but they'll have a SKU that's going to be $1,200, which is nice, which if you don't need all the bells and whistles, you don't need a overclock, you're good with, you know, their kind of default cooler, save some money and just get the one that's going to be $1,200. That comes out next month, right? Or no, it comes out this month. The 8th, I think, of this month, next week. Could be wrong.
It's pretty soon.
Yeah, it's coming out pretty soon. So I'm excited for that.
16th. Officially released, yeah.
As more of these 40 series cards come out, that means the higher end 30 series continue to go down in price, which of course is a really good thing. And then we talked about this last week, and I think that, Ryan, you had said that you don't think there's going to be a 4090 competitor AMD announces at their event that's going to be tomorrow, the RDNA 3 events. I kind of agreed a little bit. I think the possibility would be that there's something that's in that range, somewhere between a 4080 and a 4090. But it's, you know, the 40, even if you put it in between there, I still think like AMD, the sweet spot for AMD is a $1,000 card. I still think that's a sweet spot, but I guess they would put it between 1200 and 1600, somewhere in there.
Right.
I don't know. 1399.
And I think that's what I said was like, I don't think you're going to have the 4090 competitor, but you'll have something that can maybe be 4080 or around there. So.
Yeah, so this somebody leaked out that there's going to be a 7900 XT and a 7900 XTX. One would have, the XT would have 20 gigabytes of VRAM, and the other one would have 24 gigabytes of VRAM. Both would be based on the Navi 31 GPU. So the XTX would be the full silicon. So you would have 12,288 stream processors, the 24 gigabytes of, and it's going to be GDDR6 memory on this. And then the RX 7900 XT would have 10,752 cores, and then 20 gigabytes of memory on that. Yeah, I think that would kind of put them in the middle, right? Possibly.
Yeah. I mean, I like these memory capacities for sure.
That's a lot of memory.
It is. It is. Yeah. But I think, you know, hopefully it gives you some life out of a card, right? Like, I hate to say, who would ever need, you know, these capacities, right? But in a few years, like, that may be our standard. So having them a little early can maybe get you some more life out of a card.
And then we also saw prototype of what is said to be the card. So here is a 6950 XT. And in the previous story, so the RX 7900 XTX would probably be the 7950 XT. You would think. Sure. And then 7900 would be the XT, just to clarify that. So this is a 6950 XT. This is the AMD, what do they call it? Just like their reference. They don't call it a founder's edition.
They don't call it a founder's edition, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a reference card. So this is the current gen or the previous, I guess, if we go to the next one. The one up here is supposed to be the new one. And this looks a lot like the renders that that AMD did tease at their Ryzen event. Looks kind of the same. It is a little bit bigger.
I like the look of it. I think it looks great.
Yeah, it's not so boxy.
And I love those. I love the fan design, like with that triangular hub that kind of connects some of the blades. I think it looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. I assume this would light up here with some lighting. And then on the side, we at least have some 8 pins. We don't have the 16 pin connector. Actually, this is one. I like this little. This little slit
red line there, yeah.
And it's kind of cool like too.
What was the little cube they put on?
Yeah, the cube they had at
the corner.
Yeah. It looks a little bit bigger. Technically, it's slotted for 2-slot, just like the previous gen, but it is going to be a 3-slot because the cooler extends down past that. We can't, at least on this. So this is we assume this leak. This is a test board, so it has all these connections at the top.
Right.
But we would assume we'll see a backplate on the final edition of the card. Yeah, I like it. I haven't been the biggest fan of, at least recently, of the AMD reference design cards, but I like this comparing it to the previous generation for sure. Old man in the chat says the racing stripe makes it go faster, which is really funny. But yeah, like I said, I like the design. It's not such of a dramatic, if you compare like an RTX 3090 Ti to an RTX 4090, like they're huge. There's like a huge difference. This is a very small increase in overall size, which I like as well.
And if anything, it may not even be that the board is much bigger. It's just maybe that a bulkier cooler.
Yeah, the cooler does appear to kind of go out to support those fans are larger.
Support the larger fans, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm a fan of that. So, yeah, so we'll see. Everything is going to be announced tomorrow. So AMD is having their RDNA 3 events. We would hope to get how many cards?
I'd be happy with 3.
I think we'll get 2. I think we'll get the RTX 4090 either competitor or in between, and then something to be either, again, competitor or slightly under the 4080. I think that's what we'll get.
And it's tough to say, like, what if it actually is a competitor or underneath, because we haven't seen 4080 results yet.
Yeah. Right? Or maybe they were planning 3 cards, but then NVIDIA canned their RTX
4080. Pump the brakes on it, you think?
Yeah. So we'll have to see what I'm excited. I'll probably watch the event. I don't forget what time it is, but it is going to be on their YouTube. And then we'll obviously on the site, we'll have coverage articles. So if you guys are interested, probably right after it happens, I'll write up a little article giving you all the information that you're going to need on these. So you can, when they're going to be available, price, specs, performance, or the AMD performance. I always like to put that in quotes because
You gotta do it for everybody
we do it for everybody. We're
taking with a grain of salt.
So that's exciting. That is going to be tomorrow. Now this is something that I think is awesome, but I would never use because it's an ergonomic keyboard. It's split and I'm not I can't type like that.
But
Angry Mao, they make some pretty high-end keyboards. This is one of them. This is the AMAFA, and it says the world's first mechanical Alice keyboard. I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
I'm about to look it up.
It says 3-stage adjustable leaf spring mount for 18 different typing combos. I don't know.
I think it's just the split in the middle with both sides angled and curved.
Yeah. But this, I mean, look at this thing.
I like those keycaps. I'll say that.
Yeah, everything. Past that,
I don't really care for it.
Yeah, and it's expensive. I don't. I assume this is all made of metal or some type of metal. it looks
I'm nuts. Sure it's for somebody.
Yeah, it's definitely for somebody. It's just a nice looking keyboard. I can't type like that.
We had an early like Microsoft ergonomic keyboard that like came with one of our computers way back in the day, and I got used to it. Like I could type on it just fine after using it, but it's not my preferred method.
So it says 3-stage adjustable flex, so you can actually set the flex. That's pretty cool of the keyboard. So we were talking about like this keyboard, like with customization, like this is like ultra customization of like how the keyboard flexes when you type on it. I kind of like that. I would definitely be down with something like that. A bunch of different versions. Starts at $680 though, and I assume that's like the low end version of the keyboard when you can probably get this thing up really, really high. So yeah, if you're interested, we have links to it. Again, it's called the AMAFA from Angry Mal. They have a ton of really cool keyboards too, if you check out their website. So that is really cool. And Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 came out. Are you Call of Duty guy? Have you ever? I don't even think I've ever played it.
I played Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, the original.
Oh, I might have.
A lot. Like that. Yeah. I played that a ton when it was out. And I played like some Call of Duty 2. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that one. That was like a World War 2. No, World War 1. I don't remember. Mode. But yeah, I played COD 4 like a ton.
Okay.
Past that, I haven't played one.
Yeah, I haven't played it in a while. But the funny thing is that one, if you were to buy the play, so say you're, you know, most games these days, we download. Even on console, sure. People just download them. All the new consoles support M.2 drives. It just makes it easier. You don't have to leave your house. But say you're like in the middle, like when I was driving to California, like in the middle of nowhere, bad internet, or maybe you're somewhere that has bad internet, and on top of that, you have a data cap, right?
Yeah.
So you're wanting to just play the single player version of this game. That's why you bought it. There is a single player version of Modern Warfare 2. You know, there's a campaign that you can play.
Yep.
You go buy the disc, the physical disc. You put it in, and it has in on the disc is only 72 megabytes file. That's basically a downloader for the full game that you have to download. And that's just kind of as much as I hate physical media, and I've hated physical media for like the longest time, this is kind of crap because again, there's people that specific situation where they have crappy internet, or they have a data cap, and they don't want to play online. They're not buying this to play online.
Right.
They just want to play the campaign, and that's it. Right.
That's 150 gigs.
Download
of download, right? Like how long would that take with a, you know, a crappy internet connection, or you know, across your caps, or like what is the I was listening to Home Gadget Geeks, like I think it was last week's show or the week before, and they were just talking about kind of the power consumption of some things, and it got me thinking here, like what is the cost of, you know, like producing the physical media and putting it in stores and everything versus the cost it takes to support the infrastructure and that just single download of getting those 150 gigs to a consumer, right? Like, is there a point where it trade off and it's like, well, maybe physical media is actually the better cost choice, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just as much as I hate physical media and I wish it would die because that's just me, but like, I just feel bad for the people in those situations. Or like, again, you take this thing home, and you want to put it in and you want
to play.
You're
ready to play.
You don't want to wait, even if it's a half an hour. Like sometimes, like I remember before I had like really fast internet, you know, like a game would come out on launch day and I'd have to wait like a half an hour for the game to download.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want to do that if I have the physical disc. And on top of that, the physical disc, if you buy the disc version, the physical disc acts as a DRM. So even if the physical disc is a downloader, so you download the game to your PlayStation, but the game will not play unless you have the disc inserted in your PlayStation.
Do we know if the packaging says like does not contain full game, must download,
I don't know.
Like that?
I don't think a lot of people are mad, and there's a website that tracks like disc based games that don't require downloads to play the game, because there's a lot of like patches and stuff like that. But if you want to play the campaign of most games, 99% of games that come on disc still will play without having to download anything, just to play the single player campaign. So yeah, that's a little crazy about Call of Duty. And then as Old Man pointed out in the chat, and we have an article on it as well, Call of Duty, they're opening 3 days, $800 million.
Is that all?
3 days. That's
crazy.
So that breaks their record of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 in 2001. Biggest entertainment opening of 2022. That's exceeding box office openings of Top Gun Maverick and Doctor Strange in the Multiverse combined, which is pretty crazy. And that's in 3 days. I guess this is like the game.
Supposedly.
I mean, I haven't played it in a while, but I think it's a game that transcends PC, console, all of that, right? Because you have a massive group of people that play it on console, and then it's gotten really popular on PC as well. And it is that game for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So
you were talking about physical media earlier, and I'm like, I keep forgetting that I can now go buy Top Gun Maverick on UHD Blu-ray, so I need to go do that tomorrow.
It is a good I bought that movie. I went and saw it three times. I saw it three times.
Oh, you saw it. I have only seen it twice in the theater.
And then I bought it on Amazon. It was $20, but I was, you know, it's such a good movie.
Yeah. Man,
I might watch it again later. Yes. I mean, so I think that, I mean, 800 million in 3 days is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, all the big streamers are playing it right now. So, I mean, it's...
Of course.
Yeah. It is.
I saw some big commercials, like some long commercials with all sorts of celebrities and people. They're always doing that.
They're doing the whole thing with, like, energy drinks, too. Like, if you go in the store, there's, like, a Call of Duty, you know. I remember, what was the Mountain Dew Game Fuel with, like, Halo? I remember that.
Yeah, I was going to say, they had some Halo versions, yeah.
Yeah.
The Master Chief flavors and stuff, yeah.
I think even I was going to order pizza the other night, and I think either Pizza Hut or one of them has like a Call of Duty where you got like a 20 ounce Mountain Dew, you got like a pizza and something else for it.
Wasn't there a Burger King skin there's like a Burger King skin for Modern Warfare, but it's not available in the US apparently. And people are paying like $70 for this skin.
Oh, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. It was pretty funny looking skin.
Well, talking about gaming and streaming, today Elgato announced their Facecam Pro, which is the world's first 4K 60 webcam. And again, you can say you can use different cameras to do 4K 60. But for specifically being a webcam, it is the world's first 4K 60 webcam. You being the streaming person, you know, this is $300. It's relatively
$300 doesn't seem terrible.
It's not terrible. No. I think that, and I've watched a couple YouTube videos on this because the reviews came out today as well.
Sure.
I still think you could get better quality out of something that might be around the same price or better, like an actual camera. You know what I mean? A lot of people said like a Sony A5100, A6000, that you can buy those. But again, that also means that you have to buy a capture card and all that stuff. And that has an extra cost on it. But 4K 60 is pretty cool. This camera does have the autofocus like my camera does. It's not as good because I saw reviews today, but it will do, you know, it will do stuff like, you know, focused like that.
Right.
But not, not as like mine's like instant, but not like that. But it does have that, which the what was their original one called? The regular face cam. Their original face cam did not have that. And again, it's one of those ones that you can just put on top of your monitor, which definitely is nicer. I have to mount this
camera. I like the low profile of it. Yeah,
low profile, single cable, USB, you just plug it in, plug and play. $300 is a lot, but I think that maybe if you're a streamer,
You can do it. That resolution gives you a lot more options for different scenes with different, zoom levels.
Yeah.
On the camera or,
allows you to punch in to certain things. So you could punch, like if you're, again, all these creators are making content short form content for TikTok and again, YouTube Shorts and Instagram, you can punch in and make that vertical video. It's going to look a little bit better. You can do that with a 4K image. And again, it's 4K 60. We've seen 4K 30. A lot of webcams can do 4K 30. But 4K 60, I think, is a better quality, especially for streaming. It's better. Like I'm doing at 60. I'm doing 1080 60. You're not going to be able to really tell on the stream because then it's being compressed down to 720.
Right.
As you move around, you can see more if you're doing it in 60 frames a second, if you're pulling off that. Elgato is just putting out a lot of goods. They have like the full suite of stuff. They got a mic. They got
that's webcam. The other thing I was going to say is like it may be a $300 camera, but you get into their ecosphere. And there's a lot of just interoperability between their devices and everything that they can do. And who knows, they may have made some adjustments to it that cater to their lights and the LEDs they use in their lights, right, to make it look better than.
And from what I've heard. Their camera software is leagues ahead of like the Logitech or the Razer or something like that. It's a lot more options. You can change a lot of different settings. You can really, like with my camera and with your camera, like you can set specific settings so you get the best picture. I'm sure like last month on the stream, I didn't look as good because I just had this thing on auto, but like you can set your own settings with this thing. As well. So $300 is a lot, but I think you'll see a lot of people using this. It just makes sense. It's that easy. Again, low profile design.
It's cool.
I think it's good if you're trying to up your streaming game, right? You're gonna, was it the C920 from Logitech that we all use? Yep. If you want to get a little bit past that, you maybe don't want to invest in like a nicer camera. I think this is the way to go. Like I said, you're beginning streaming. Maybe you're making a little bit of money, but you don't want to splurge on, $1,000 for a camera and all that kind of stuff. That'd be kind of the way to go. In the chat, Old Man says, I heard YouTubers complain YouTube compresses 4K images a lot. Yeah. Well, one, you're uploading and then they have to, they basically re-encode the video. There's a lot of ways to sort of get around that. But when it comes to streaming, you're kind of, limited to what they can give you. And then on top of that, I've heard, at least on mobile, that YouTube, unless you have like the YouTube Red or whatever, if you're on mobile, you won't be able to stream 4K content. From what I've heard. So I don't know if that's true or not. That's like a new thing that they're going to be implementing. But yeah, that brings us to the end here. Old Man, if you want to get our game deals for the week, and then everything is in my Amazon shopping cart, and we've been talking about this for 3 weeks, but it's like going to be ordered the next couple of days. So I wanted to click
buy now. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to give you guys a little preview of my new PC build. So first off, I have a lot of these, I have a considerable amount of components already. So I'm going to be doing AMD Ryzen 5950X.
Are you going to show us this or are you just going to list it?
I'm going to list the stuff I already have. Okay, first.
I got you. All right,
so okay. I have a 5950X and I have the motherboard, which is, what is the motherboard?
Are you doing the crosshair?
Yeah, it's the ROG Crosshair 8 Extreme. which is this motherboard, which I reviewed. So that's like the baseline of this. I have a 3090, which is the Zotac 3090 that I have. So that's like the beef of the system right there. Those three things. And then I have a bunch of M.2s that I'm going to put in this as well. So I have all, I have almost everything. And then I'm going to be doing the Li & Li 011 dynamic. I'm doing G-Scale Trident Z Royal DDR4. It's nice that I can, I don't have to go up to the DDR5 yet. You know, a little less expensive.
Save a little bit of money.
And then just, I do.
You're just doing one of those? One
yeah, I don't know if I should go up to 64 gigabytes.
Yeah, just do it.
Another 150. And then I have Cooler Master sent over a white SFXL power supply, so I have that. And then I'm not doing, I thought about it. You see all these Li & Li builds with their streamer RGB cables, their RGB 24 pin, and their, I didn't want to do that. So I'm just going to get white sleeved cables to do the extensions. It's going to make things a lot easier, make things a lot uniform. That's basically it. I have some other stuff in my Amazon cart for rigging up cameras and stuff, but I'm pretty excited, man. Like I said, I'm ordering this stuff in the next couple of days. It's going to be coming together. And what's really nice is I don't necessarily have to break down this computer here. You know what I mean? Right, I can throw another graphics card in this. Yeah, I can throw another graphics card in here and then take the 3090 out and then just have this running while I'm building the other, so I can do it over a couple days. It's not like something that I have to force. So I'm pumped. And then we have the desk. Like I got the desk is here, new desk. Have some other stuff coming for the desk. I'm pumped, man, to get this build going. So it should be, I have it by the end of this month, by the end of November, we'll have the video of everything. You'll definitely see it on the podcast as we get, as things get built and put together and all that. So
sweet.
Definitely excited for that. I haven't, like I said, it's been a while since I built a new computer, like for my own.
I know it feels like you've been on this thing forever.
I mean, when did we, let's look here, Ryan.
I mean, like years, like
I wonder if
it's older than my system for sure.
Let's see. PC build maybe. Only a couple years. Cause so 2 years ago was the upgrading the Ultimate RGB build. So that was 2 years ago on the channel. That's when I put the 3090 in. That's when I upgraded to the Dominator Platinum. So yeah.
What about like motherboard and CPU?
I've had that for a long time.
Right.
Let me see. Why is that not on the channel? Let me see. RGB build. So 5 years ago is when I put together the CPU. And at that point, I had the 2080 in there, I think.
Probably.
Yeah. So if you guys remember, like, here's the 4800. At the time, it was $4,800. Was the Ultimate RGB build. So at that time, check out that video. It was a lot of fun doing that. And that's so long ago. That's 5 years ago. That was three apartments ago. And that's, you know, really,
I looked back at one the other day. It was episode, I think it was like 200, and your hair was long. Like you didn't have the current haircut. Right. And it was a different background. I was like, oh, this looks familiar, but man, this is a long time ago.
Yeah. So we did the 40. So 5 years ago, I basically had like the PC that I'm using now, basically all of the main components were there. I had a 20, I believe it was a 2080, might have been a 2080 super. I don't remember in there. And then I upgraded that 2 years ago with the 3090 or no, I don't even think that was the 3090. Hold on.
We'll find out. Old man did look up the games. It looks like Saturnalia and Warhammer 40K Mechanicus is free, and then Filament and Rising Storm 2.
I looked so young 2 years ago. What happened?
Right, your hair is like long.
I think this might have been like COVID time. 2 years ago.
Does it give an actual date on it? And I don't like the new like bubble underneath videos, the gray.
Yeah, that's been new for a few months.
It has.
YouTube's not loading on my end, but in any case, I think once I got the 3090, I put that in there as well. So it's, and again, I would still be using this system because it works great. Like this system, there's nothing wrong with this system, except USB. For the fact that the USB just turns off and turns back on randomly. And
you haven't had that in a while, have you?
Well, I circumvented it sort of for the podcast. So the webcam.
That's true.
The webcam and stuff is plugged into an powered external USB hub. That's why we don't have that issue. But it is sometimes annoying because like sometimes my keyboard will like turn off and turn back on, especially when gaming. Like that's one of the most annoying part. And then like when the USB resets, it resets the RGB and that goes all haywire. It's just like not a good thing. And honestly, like this case, while I love this case, it's not like I have to put the side panel open when I'm gaming. Like I definitely want to change. So it's definitely, and again, I've had the 5950X since I reviewed it. So it's just been sitting there.
Yeah.
And then I have that really awesome Asus motherboard. And again, this processor that I have now is 16 core, 8 core, 16, or yeah, not 16 core, 8 core, 16 thread. 5950X is 8 core, 16 thread, right? I believe so.
Sorry, I was changing my cooling, getting ready for streaming.
Oh, there you go.
16 core.
Yeah, 16 core. Yeah, so this one is 8 core, 16 thread. So I'm like doubling everything. So I'm excited for this build. Well, like I said, I know I've been saying this for a while, but everything is coming together. It's all going to be all, you'll see all over our social media and everything like that. So I'm definitely excited about that. We went over the games. We are going to be gaming. Like Ryan said, he is getting that stream ready. So it's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. New season of Apex Legends. So I'm excited for that.
Ooh, new map.
Oh, there's a new map. Like completely new map or like an older map that's...
No, new map. Brand new map.
Oh, man. All right.
New champion. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you want to talk about the items you're looking at next week?
Oh, yeah. Coming up next week. I got
something out just for it. So...
Oh, okay, you did. All right. So I'll be taking a look at a really cool keyboard here. So this, Ryan doesn't like it. I said it to him last night. He doesn't like it. So this is the Mel Geek Pixel, which is a Lego themed keyboard. And it is really cool. I haven't used it yet, but like you can customize this thing with, they give you a bunch of Lego parts too. That you can.
Those are not Legos. Those I know are they're building blocks.
I know bricks. they can't use it for. Yeah, they can't say it for legal reasons. But
yeah,
it does say Lego inspired design. But yeah. In any case, it is really cool. Actually, all the switches have a Lego.
Is it in the switch or is it in the keycap?
Yeah, it's in the keycap. The
keycaps look cool. I don't mind those.
The keycaps are clear.
I think this thing is hideous. Like
it's cool
and that's coming from someone that
but like look you can make it like Legos. A switch like look it's like a switch.
I get it. I know I don't like it, sorry.
Okay, well we'll have more about it next week and how you can customize and do. Look how cool that is. You have little guys hanging out on your keyboard.
Yeah. They're called minifigs. Thank you very much.
Okay, well I'm not a big Lego guy like you are, so we'll have that, and then I'll be taking a look at a laptop, and a really interesting laptop, because this is the Lenovo ThinkPad X13S, where the S stands for Snapdragon. So you know, we are seeing laptops that are powered by mobile type chips. This is sort of supposed to be that always on device that you can do a lot of things, you know, but it is Snapdragon. So it is Windows is being emulated because it's not x86 chip, like an Intel chip or an AMD chip. So we'll have to see how kind of all that goes, but this thing is small, man. It's small and it's light. I had it out the other day. This thing is small and light. The one that they sent us has 5G built in as well. So you could basically, I could be on the beach, I could be you know, just doing some work.
This is multi-day battery, right? Like,
yeah. So that's the biggest thing about using, and you saw this with Apple chips too, doing this where like they've really, again, a lot of these chips don't need to be insanely powerful, but they can last for a very, very long time. And I think this is one of those, you know, we're using a Snapdragon type chip that is used in a lot of phones as well, that can do a lot of stuff. And again, this isn't like a gaming PC or something where you're doing 4K video editing on. It is a ThinkPad, so it's more or less a work laptop, and you would, you know, you want your work laptop to last a long time. So this is a good thing for that. So we'll have that for you guys next week as well. So excited to tell you guys about that one as well. So yeah, we are going to jump over to Twitch. Ryan's going to get that stream up, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, and we will catch everybody next week.